It's a very short psalm, only 6 verses long, but boy, is it packed full of blessings, promises, and comfort for us. I'm going to ask you to do what I asked you to do a couple of weeks ago. Let's read this psalm together out loud. You ready? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank You for this beautiful psalm that You've included in Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for how You have used this psalm so powerfully in many people throughout history. And Lord, though it might even be familiar to us this morning, I pray that You would use it powerfully this morning in our hearts. We thank You for the blessings and the comfort that are promised to us in this psalm. I pray, Lord, that we would understand this morning how blessed we are to have You as our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, Psalm 23 is not just a psalm for funerals. Although it has been used as such in many occasions, and it has brought great comfort to many people in times like that, beautiful for that. But remember also that Psalm 23 is a psalm for life. It's a psalm to be lived by. The blessings and the promises and the comforts included in Psalm 23 are available in the here and now, right now, today. It's a psalm for life. And I got to tell you, if the Lord is your own personal shepherd, then you will flourish in this life. You will flourish if the Lord is your shepherd. If you can say, like David says when he opens up this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," then you will be able to also say, along with David, "I shall not want." And all of the promises and blessings in this psalm apply to you right now today. It's awesome to have the Lord as your shepherd. The analogy that David uses in this psalm is that of God as a shepherd. And remember the basic functions of a shepherd in caring for the sheep. The first function that a shepherd did, the first responsibility of a shepherd, was to provide for the sheep, feed the sheep. Second responsibility, the shepherd would lead the sheep, guide the sheep in pleasant areas. And then the third responsibility of the shepherd was to protect the sheep, to protect them from wild animals and such, and from pitfalls along the way. Those are the three basic functions, and over the next several weeks, I want to look at those functions as it applies to God as our shepherd, us being His sheep. And you'll see how blessed we are. This morning, I first of all want to consider God as our shepherd being our provider. He is a shepherd who provides. Life's provision is found in His hands. And let me ask you this question. What does God as our shepherd provide us? What kinds of things does He give to us? Well, many. Many, many, many blessings that we can read about throughout the Bible. But this morning, I want us to just consider a few, as we see in our text here in Psalm 23. And the first provision, the first blessing that our shepherd wants to give to us today in the here and now is this: rest. Rest. True rest. Look at verse 2. says our shepherd wants to give us. It says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Notice that again. He makes me to lie down. Now that is speaking of total, complete rest. I did a lot of research into the Hebrew words under the psalm this week. And that little phrase that you find there in verse 2, to lie down, it's a word that literally means in the Hebrew, to lie down stretched out. It means, you know, loose vernacular, crashing out. It means reclining. In fact, the root word for the verb of that Hebrew word literally means to place a couch beneath. Folks, this is total rest. This is lying down, stretched out on a lazy boy recliner. This is true rest and relaxation. God wants to give His people that kind of rest. That kind of rest and relaxation, and that is a blessing. Now listen, you're not going to hear a lot of pastors share this with you from the pulpit, or Christian workers or missionaries. Because the work of the kingdom of God is always going. There's so much to do. And there's so little volunteers oftentimes. But you do need to understand that our God, He's into rest. Rest is in with the Lord. He wants His people rested. You see that way back in the opening chapters of Genesis, don't you? In the creation account. What did God do during those 6 days? He worked. He created the heavens and the earth. What did He do on the seventh day? Did He mow the lawn? He rested. And He established that as a pattern by which the nation of Israel was to abide by for the rest of their history. They still do today. Work 6 days, rest on the Sabbath day. God is into rest. We should rest. You know, as a church, as Christians living in the church age, we're not under the Sabbath day law anymore. But you know, I do think the principle applies. I think you should take one day a week and crash. Rest. Get some rest and relaxation. God's into rest. When the Son of God came on the scene thousands of years later in His public ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to what He said in Matthew chapter 11. He said, Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. A blessing that our shepherd wants to give to us is rest. And the problem is, as human beings, especially those of us living here in America, we're not into rest like God is, are we? Man, we live in such a fast-paced society and we have technology that keeps us from rest. So many of us don't rest at all. In America, our version of Psalm 23 might go like this. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. Would that be your Psalm 23? Do you rest? Or is life just so busy and out of control? You know, that's true even for Christian workers, for those of us who are in the ministry, or for many of you that work in the church and are working hard in the expansion of the kingdom of God. You need to rest as well. You need to be full of rest. You need to take time to rest. A preacher once said, I never take vacations. The devil doesn't. Now that might sound cute and all, but are we to follow the devil's example? Whose example are we to follow? the Lord's. And the Lord said, take time to rest. I believe we should physically rest. Take one day off a week. Take a vacation. Get good night's sleep. And with that one, I'm preaching to myself. We need to take time to rest. God wants to bring us that rest. He wants to say, I would like to make you lie down. And you know what? He is so committed to it. Look again at verse 2. It says, He makes me to lie down. Get that? He's so committed to His people resting that He will in fact make us lie down and rest. You know, as I look back over my life, there are many times in my life where getting sick, although it wasn't the greatest thing to experience, was also a blessing. There have been times where I was going so busy and crazy and, you know, the Lord just gave me a little bit of a sickness and I had to just lay in bed for 2 days. He made me lie down and rest. Many times He'll do that. Maybe if there's a promotion or something that you've been wanting to get at work and that doesn't happen, you might get mad and think, God, why didn't I get promoted? Well, maybe you'll get promoted on the next turn, but right now God wants to give you rest. We shouldn't be afraid of rest. We should desire rest. We shouldn't feel guilty about rest. Now, if you're sitting on lazy boys all day long, every day, then you need to get going. But we shouldn't feel bad about rest. How many of you can read sheet music? Raise your hands. Sheet music. Sheet music has little symbols on the page that tell you when to press a key, when to play a note, when to play music. But there are also symbols in sheet music that tell you when to rest. Little marks that say, no music is to be played at this point. Pause. Rest. One music teacher said something neat about that and applied that to our lives as Christians. She said, there is no music in a rest, but there is the making of music in it. In our whole life melody, the music is broken off here and there by rests, and we foolishly think we have come to the end of the tune. God sends a time of forced leisure, sickness, disappointed plans, frustrated efforts, and makes a sudden pause in the choral hymn of our lives. And we lament that our voices must be silent and our part missing in the music whichever goes up to the ear of the Creator. How does the musician read the rest? See him beat the time with unvarying count and catch up the next tone, true and steady, as if no breaking place had come in between. Not without design does God write the music of our lives. Be it ours to learn the tune and not be dismayed at the rest. They are not to be slurred over, not to be admitted, not to destroy the melody, not to change the keynote. If we sadly say to ourselves there is no music in a rest, let us not forget that there is the making of music in it. Rests are designed by God. They're important. They're a blessing. That's one of the wonderful things that our Lord wants to provide for us. Rest. Physical rest and spiritual rest, which I'll get to in a few moments. Let's look at the next one. The next provision or blessing that I see in this psalm would be safety. Our shepherd wants to provide us with a safe environment, a safe place in which to flourish in this life. Again, verse 2. David says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. I'm emphasizing pastures this time. That's a Hebrew word that simply means a habitation for sheep. A sheepfold. A dwelling place for sheep. Many times, that word is used to speak of an enclosed area of good land for grazing. And so, sheep are brought to this beautiful land of grass. A fence is constructed around them. They're contained in that area. And there they graze. And the fences aren't there to be a bummer for the sheep. They're there to protect the sheep, keep them from wandering off, or, better yet, keep wild animals from getting in. And that's the idea here. There's a safe place for the sheep to graze, right inside that enclosed area, that pasture. Now, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the shepherd also at many times would take the sheep out on long journeys. When things weren't good right there in the village, it was necessary for the shepherd to take the sheep out onto the hillside somewhere to find some good open space of land, some good open grazing of land. And there they would go. And one of the things that the shepherd needed to do once he found a suitable spot for grazing was to make it secure. To, you know, go out and scout out the area, be on the lookout for wolves and lions and bears. Go out and try to make that place as safe as possible. Put together some kind of a crude enclosed area for the sheep to be in at night. The idea was the shepherd wanted to give the sheep a safe place to flourish. A place where they could just lie down and graze. Or get up and wander around. Just a safe environment. Place where they could sit down and have a meal without worry. Isn't that a great thing? Don't you hate eating meals on the run? Don't you hate when you have to sit down at dinner table and everything's going crazy around you and the phone's ringing and, oh, how I remember the days before children. Oh. Kim and I used to have wonderful leisurely meals together and it was just so awesome. Those of you who are parents now know, when you have small kids, boy, there's no such thing as a leisurely meal. Kim and I have grown to love Chuck E. Cheese. Not for the pizza, but to be able to eat the pizza in peace, because they'll run around and stuff like that. But that's the point is, the shepherd wants to give us a spot of safety where we're free from worry. And my brother and sister in Christ, our shepherd wants to do that for us spiritually and in this life. The good shepherd's looking out for us. He's protecting us. And you know what? The good shepherd does put little boundary fences around us, commands that we find in Scripture. Not to limit us, not to give us a bummer of a life, but to give us a safe place in which we can flourish in this life and blossom and be used by Him and be efficient. He's so good at making us safe, making us feel safe, giving us a safe environment. You know, I heard an interesting thing about what they learned in the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. When they first started constructing that bridge, no safety devices were used. And actually, 23 men fell to their deaths. Later on, towards the end of that construction project, however, a large net, a safety net at a cost of $100,000, was employed. Now, only 10 men fell, and they were saved by that net. But an interesting sidelight is the fact that 25% more work was accomplished when the men were assured of their safety. You see, when you're in a safe place, you'll flourish. Our shepherd is excellent at providing us a safe place, a wonderful place, and He does that so skillfully. That's a wonderful blessing that He provides us with. There's another blessing that we see in our text here that the Lord provides: nourishment. Nourishment. Food, providing for our material needs, bodily needs. Look at verse 2 again. It says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I'm emphasizing green this time. Green pastures. You know what that's referring to? The delicacies of grass. The delicacies of vegetation. That word green speaks of the brand new, verdant, fresh spring grass. It was the filet mignon of grass. The shepherd brought his sheep to the best place. And you know, that was a responsibility for the shepherds in those days. And the shepherds sort of prided themselves in finding the best pastures for their sheep. And that's the imagery that David is using. And folks, I want you to know, God as our shepherd provides for our needs. He takes care of us. He makes sure that we're fed. He brings us to green pastures. And you know what? We are so blessed in America, aren't we? We don't go hungry. We have plenty to eat. And you know, I think God has led us here in the Southwest to the best pastures. He makes us to lie down in green chili pastures. I love the spicy foods and all that we have here. We eat good in America. He takes care of us. He watches over us. Now that doesn't mean, my brother and sister in Christ, that you're going to go out and eat in fancy restaurants every night. It doesn't mean you're always going to have steak, barbecuing on the grill every day. Although many times God does bless us with delicacies. But you know what? You'll be nourished. And you know, God can even nourish you with simple food. He can make you thrive. Because you know, it gets tough sometimes at the end of the month. Grocery money. What are we going to have? Beans and rice. But you know what? God will nourish us. He'll take care of us. He'll make sure that we're fed. He can make us thrive even on simple foods. You remember that story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 1? Remember that they were teenagers and they had been taken captive from the Babylonians? And there they were in the courts of Babylon. And they were being trained in the royal courts. They were being prepared for the royal courts. And as members of the royal courts, these Hebrew teenagers had access to the king's delicacies of Babylon. All the rich meats and sauces, wines. And you remember those four Hebrew teenagers said, "We don't want to be defiled by the king's delicacies. We don't want any of it." And the person who was in charge said, "Well, I'm not sure about that. We want you to thrive and do well just as the other guys in the court." Daniel said, "Give me just vegetables and water. And do that for a period of time. And we'll compare afterwards." Did that, and what was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember how they came out? They were on top. God had caused them to thrive. God is our nourisher. He takes care of us. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." Listen, that's a promise from the Lord. If you belong to Him, if He's your shepherd, provision. He'll take care of you. Physical nourishment. And spiritual nourishment, which I would like to mention more about in a minute or so. In the same vein of nourishment, you also need water. The sheep needed to be fed good grass. The shepherd brought them to good places to graze. But what else do you need? You need water. And look in verse 2. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." The still waters. It was important for the shepherd to also find water for the sheep. And you know what? That took some skill in David's day in that place in Palestine. It was a wilderness area at that point. They relied heavily on rainfall. There weren't any natural sources of fresh water. So they really had to work at it to find water. They had to dig wells. They had to go find pools. They had to collect water from different spots and whatnot. Well, David, in saying that, says, "He leads me beside the still waters." The shepherd found the sheep the best water to drink. And by the way, it had to be still waters, meaning quiet. Nothing, you know. Sheep, again, they scare easily. If anything makes a lot of noise, the sheep takes off. You don't bring sheep to the Niagara Falls to drink water. They'll take off. The shepherd needed to find this real still still, quiet, calm waters. You kind of picture that in your mind. And again, it's this place of safety and provision. And there they'd come and they'd drink their fill. The Lord is our shepherd, wants to quench our thirst as well. Physically, we do pretty good with water here in America. We even bottle it up and sell it. We got lots of water. But you know, at this point, I'd also like to speak of our spiritual thirst. Our shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. He'll quench your thirst spiritually as well. A spiritual thirst. You know, the Bible teaches that people are basically born with a spiritual thirst. There's a God-shaped vacuum, a hole in every person that can only be filled with the relationship with God. And that can only be filled by having the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart, forgive you of your sins. That brings you into a living, vibrant relationship with God, and you will be filled. Your thirst will be quenched. The search is over. Bible says of the Lord, come, taste of me and see that I'm good. And He is good. And He will absolutely fulfill you. You know, so many people are thirsty for things and trying to find satisfaction, again, as we spoke a couple weeks ago. And they try to quench their spiritual thirst through new philosophies or books or experiences. Jesus told that woman in Samaria at the well, who just was going to raise up water from the well, He told her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. See, the idea is you're just overflowing with water when you belong to the Lord. A sheep in the fold of God. Oh, they're flourishing. They're satisfied. Fountain of water bubbling up to everlasting life. The Lord Himself wants to provide you with that blessing. And He continues to provide us with that blessing as Christians. It's beautiful. You know, it says He leads me beside the still waters. And water in the Bible is symbolic of many different things, which I'd like to point out as provisions for us. First of all, water is seen as the power of God. It can be likened to the power of God because in the Bible we see God do some very powerful things with water. In the creation account, it says that God created the waters, separated the waters. In Psalm 104, it says, "You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works." The Bible teaches God created water and He dispenses water to water His earth and to water people. He's got power over water. He's the creator of water. It shows His power. He can do some pretty impressive things with water too, can't He? You remember when the nation of Israel crossed the Red Sea? What did He do with water there? Stopped it. Walled it up. And there the nation goes right through. In like fashion, the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan River. God stopped that Jordan River up. It speaks of His power. And my brother and sister in Christ, I wanted to point that out to you this morning. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have access to His power. Those still waters are right there next to you. You're connected to them. There's a flow there. There's power to live the Christian life. Jesus said, spoke of it as being torrents of living water gushing out of your heart. You see, it takes power to live the Christian life, doesn't it? So many times, not our power. We can't live the Christian life in our own strength. We need the power of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. Water, speaking of that, I think it shows us having access to power. You know what else water is symbolic of? Refreshment. Refreshment, right? When you go jogging, or when you're involved in some kind of a sport, or when you get hot, isn't it great when you come back to not only drink the water, but to just sort of dunk water on your head? To get a cold rag of water and flop it on your head. You remember the Nestea ice, the iced tea commercials? Remember, there's a guy about ready to die, sweating to death, and he takes a drink of tea and it's like doing what? Falling back into a pool. Refreshment. Oh, I'm telling you, the Lord is good at refreshing people. The Lord wants to bring refreshment to your life. Refreshment to your heart. Refreshment to your soul. So many times it can be tough. Even being a Christian, you go through a dry time. You go through a dry spell. And maybe you think, what is the Lord doing in my life? I don't feel as close to Him as I once did. Come to the Lord as your shepherd this morning and ask Him to refresh you. Go directly to Him. He's good at refreshing us. Many times He'll change a circumstance in our life. Or He'll do something neat for us in our life. And it refreshes you in your faith. Other times He'll use the encouraging or timely word of a brother or sister in Christ. And that's a beautiful way. Have you ever been refreshed in your spirit by a brother or sister in Christ? Maybe you come to church and you're just down, but you get an encouraging word from somebody and it was just like taking the plunge into that swimming pool. You get refreshed, rejuvenated. That's beautiful. I love what Paul used to say, what he did say of Philemon, his friend, in verse 7 of that chapter. He says, "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." Isn't that neat? There are Christians out there that can refresh the hearts of other Christians. Are you one of them? Are you someone who can be used by the Lord, and you come to church and maybe you see someone who's downcast and you refresh them? An encouraging word. God loves to refresh us. He's our shepherd. He brings refreshment. He'll do it through circumstances or through people or encouraging words. I've also found that music can be a wonderful time of refreshment. I hope you find that here on Sunday mornings. Our worship team leads us in such beautiful worship. And it can be a real refreshing time for our soul. Martin Luther said, "Music is a fair and lovely gift of God, which has often wakened and moved me to the joy of preaching. Next, after theology, I give to music the highest place and the greatest honor. My heart bubbles up and overflows in response to music, which has so often refreshed me and delivered me from dire plagues." That's a blessing. Refreshment. What else does water symbolize? Most of us got up this morning and we took a shower. Why? Do we just like to get wet? We like to get woken up, don't we? Showers do that for us. But what else do showers and baths do for us? There's a cleansing, right? It's hygiene. You get washed. Water in the Bible is many times symbolic of precisely that, being cleansed, dirt washed away. And spiritually speaking, sinful dirt washed away. Our souls are cleansed. You see that imagery again throughout the Bible. The Old Testament priests, in their ordination ceremonies, had to be washed thoroughly from head to toe before a priest could make sacrifices or bring offerings. They had to wash their hands and their feet with water. There were elaborate ways for all the Israelites to wash their hands and give themselves ceremonial cleansing in the days of Jesus and in the times of the Old Testament. Water is always seen as a washing, a cleansing, a purification kind of thing. Baptism, water baptism. We use that in the church. That's a picture as well, isn't it? It's a picture of dying to your sins, rising to new life, and it's almost like you're being washed of your sins as you're dunked in that water. The Lord is my shepherd, and He leads me beside the still waters. He cleanses me. He brings deep-seated washing and cleansing to our lives. And you know what? Only Jesus can do that. Only Him as our shepherd can do that. The Bible teaches that Jesus came to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And He shed His blood for our sins. And He rose again the third day. And if His shed blood has been appropriated to your life, you've been cleansed. You've been washed. You're purified. You're forgiven of all your sins. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Oh, there's cleansing in the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. Oh, how you could be washed. My brother and sister in Christ, we need to be washed. Often, again and again. We have been forgiven of all of our sins when we accept the Lord as our Savior. But we still sin. We still make mistakes, don't we? The Bible teaches that when you do that, you just need to simply confess those sins to your shepherd. And it restores your fellowship with Him. It cleanses you. Your fellowship with the Master is restored. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've never asked Him to come into your heart. The Bible says that a person who doesn't have Christ in their heart is literally stained with dirty sin. It's a black soul. It's dirty. You need to get totally washed, and the only way you can be forgiven of all that sin and be turned into a clean heart, whiter than snow, is to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, to let Him be your shepherd. Cleansing there. Beautiful, beautiful blessings. There's one more sentence I want to look at. The first sentence of verse 3. Another blessing. He restores my soul. That's what David says of his shepherd. He restores my soul. And this is really not David speaking of God as the shepherd and He is the sheep. This is David the man talking about his God. The Lord is my shepherd, and He restores my soul. I love that. Again, I looked in the Hebrew, and that word restore is it can literally mean to change something to a preferable state. To correct something. To fix something. To return to a healthy condition. To recover. To repair. And then He says, the Lord, He restores my soul. In the Hebrew, that's a word that's used extensively throughout the Old Testament. Translated, soul, heart. Person, mind. How about this one? Life. He restores my life. My heart. My person, my soul. If Folks, once again, only God can do that. That's the biggest blessing in belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. He restores your soul. Again, maybe you're here this morning and you've gotten away from the Lord. You belong to the Lord, but you're like one of those sheep. Maybe you've jumped the fence and you're out running around on your own. And you've gotten in trouble. You've made a mess. The Lord wants to change your soul back into a preferable state, a healthy state, and He can do so. But you know what that involves? That involves you changing your attitude. From an attitude that says, I'm going to go my own way, to an attitude that says, I'm going to go God's way. And if you do that, you watch, restoration will take place in your life. He'll bring you back, forgive you, and He'll restore your soul. Maybe you're here this morning, and again, you haven't asked the Lord to be your shepherd. You haven't asked Him to be your Savior. And you kind of look at your life, and you look at your soul and your heart, and you think, oh, it's pretty bad. And if you could have one wish, it would be, oh, I wish somebody could change my life, make it better. Recover all those years, all those wasted time. My friend, you have one just like that available to you. If the Lord is your shepherd, it says He can repair your life. He'll recover it. Restore it. Rejuvenate it. But you have to give Him your heart. You have to ask Him to be your Savior. Those are wonderful blessings that our shepherd wants to provide for us. And you know, I did mention a lot of physical provision. I want to mention, however, very quickly as we conclude, the spiritual provisions as well. Listen, we talked a lot about physical nourishment and physical safety in this life and whatnot. But listen, the Lord as your shepherd wants to give you spiritual nourishment. Spiritual safety. And you know where that's found? In His book. In the Word of God. This book is green pastures. This book is still waters. My brother and sister in Christ, eat of it. Drink of it regularly. You will thrive spiritually. This book also keeps us safe. It really is what provides the fences in our lives to keep us safe. The more we know this Word, the more we have it become a part of us, the more we flourish. And then I also want you to know that I do believe that the Lord, as our shepherd, has provided church to be a place of refuge for us and to take care of many of these provisions. And I want you to know with all my heart, and this is something that I pray often, that I pray that this church fellowship is green pastures for you. My heart's prayer is that church and all churches, that it would be a place where Christians can rest, where you can come right beside the still waters for a spell. You can come to green pastures. You know, we call this place a sanctuary. I pray that it is a place where you can rest. I pray that this place is a place, is a safe house for Christians where you can come together and sort of let your hair down. Be yourselves with one another. Find encouragement with one another. Get prepared to go out in the world again as soldiers. You know, soldiers need time off. God's people need time off together to learn and grow together. I pray that this place is a time, place of refreshment. I pray that God uses the people here to refresh one another. I pray that this place is a place of nourishment, where whenever we meet, you can be nourished by the Word of God as we study and learn the Word of God. I pray for that. And I ask you all to be a part of that. be a part of that process. And then as we close, understand that all of these provisions are things that the Lord wants to give us, but don't see it as a Christmas list that you just want to get. Look, listen, all of this comes from Jesus Christ Himself. He's the source. It's being linked to Him that matters. He's the one who brings that rest to our life, peace to our life. The Bible even indicates that He wants to be our source of nourishment. How do you explain it? But it has to do with nurturing your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He Himself said, I'm the bread of life that comes down from heaven. Eat of me. Jesus Himself said, I'm the living water. Drink of me. New Testament says that Jesus Christ will bring us true rest. It is your connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you connected? Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you have these provisions? Let's bow our heads. You know, and let's spend some time with the shepherd. Lord, that psalm opens up. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here this morning who doesn't have you as their shepherd. Please understand that the Lord wants to be your shepherd, so much so that He died on a cross for the job. He died for your sins, and you must accept Him into your heart as your Savior first. And then He'll shepherd you. Boy, will He shepherd. He will restore your soul. He'll restore your life, but you need to come clean with Him. You need to ask Him for help. If you know that that's you, if the Lord is knocking on your heart, if His Spirit is touching your heart, and you just know that it's time to give your life to Jesus, I want you to do it right now. I want you to just open your heart and ask Jesus to be your personal Savior. Do that with a prayer. Pray this with me in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank You for shedding Your blood, which cleanses me of all sin. Be my Savior. Come into my heart. Change my life. And then, Lord, restore my soul. Restore my life. Lead me to those green pastures. Beside that still waters. Lord, I pray that for all of Your people here this morning, maybe those who have slipped away or all of us who are with You and doing well, I pray, Lord, that we would just continue to enjoy Your bountiful blessings. We love You.
Here I am once again. Pour out my heart, for I know that You hear every time.
Let's stand as we close.
You are listening, no matter what state my heart is in. You are faithful to answer. With the words that are true and a hope that is real, as I feel Your touch, You bring a freedom to all that's within. In the safety of this place, I'm longing to pour out my heart.
Have a wonderful week. May God bless you.